That's the
spirit. Hello, Peter Lynham.
And how are you going?
Pretty good. And yourself, you somewhat recovered from your COVID-19?
Somewhat recovered, but also using this as an excuse to cancel out of all sorts of things, except your fine radio show.
Oh, there we go. Yes, that's the spirit. Hey, what are we chatting about this afternoon, Peter? This is something that I'm not familiar with at all.
Yes, well, one of the things I've been sitting reading about, I've been looking at the potential for interfaith dialogue and cooperation between different religious groups in the contemporary world.
Yes.
And there's an interesting precedent, or is it a precedent, in the ways in which Muslims treated Christians and Jews.
In the past.
Well, yeah, going right back to the beginnings of the story of Islam. And I thought it's a really interesting story, and I wonder indeed if it does shape the way Muslims still treat Christians and Jews. So I thought so then, and it all hinges on this word called, I have no idea if this is the correct pronunciation, dhimmi, D-H-I-M-M-I, in the kind of current thing. So the dhimmi, this was the status of people who were regarded by Muslims as they weren't pagans. They weren't worshipping multitudes of gods, so therefore they could be entitled to some kind of special treatment. But they hadn't accepted the revelation of that Muhammad had brought that had knocked out all preceding revelation. And therefore they weren't going to be accepted as full citizens. They were going to be given a partial status, and this was the status of dhimmi.
Okay, the gist that I got was the Christians and the Jews could exist within an Islamic society as long as they paid their tax. Is that pretty
much? Paid, yes, but it was a special tax.
Yes.
So this was taxed at a higher rate.
Okay.
Because they couldn't be expected, for example, to fight in the Islamic armies that would try to destroy the evils of the world.
Yes.
And so they were, and it varied quite a lot from place to place, but they were expected to provide subsidies to enable the Islamic army to generously fight on their behalf. And they were often expected to wear distinctive clothing. So the Yellow Star, notorious in German treatment of the Jews, was an origin, an Islamic introduction. So they wanted to know who were the Jews, because after all, Jews couldn't be trusted to fulfill their contracts quite as thoroughly as good Muslims would. And Jews and Christians, and sometimes other people were given the same status as well, and various other minor little religions, Zoroastrians, for example, because Zoroastrians are a kind of monotheist, were in Persia given this kind of status.
Yes.
And sometimes they were expected to live in their own quarters, so something equivalent to the use, that was notorious in Poland, of pushing them into small sectors in which they had to live and make do in that context. But although it's a second-class citizenship, it was a kind of citizenship. They were protected by the law. They were not regarded. So you couldn't go out and kill them wantonly. It wasn't like, you know, what happened in Germany to the Jews, or indeed in medieval Europe. Jews were mostly in some danger to themselves. But it's better if they were in Muslim society. And yet, it is not quite modern notions of equality. And I'm fascinated by this, because perhaps we shouldn't expect them ever to believe in kind of forms of equality. But did you know that, I mean, Jewish thinking flourished massively in Muslim countries?
Yes.
In the period. So these are, you know, the great Jewish philosophers and mathematicians were often in excellent connection with the great Muslim mathematicians and philosophers in the high flowering of Jewish thought. Christians often found it a bit more they didn't enjoy it nearly so much. But Christians had a bit themselves to blame for this, because, after all, the Crusades made Christians a little bit suspect in the eyes of most Muslims, as you'd imagine.
So do you think some of this stuff, there is obviously an opportunity for cultural interaction to some degree, despite being pushed into, you know, like a certain area which you coexisted or you existed in within, you know, a particular Muslim society?
Yes, well, I mean, I think it's unlikely that we're ever going to find a fully fledged human rights-based society where all religions are given equal rights in traditional societies. Traditional societies, religion is far too important to ever allow all religions equal status.
Yes.
It seems a bit unlikely.
You think that it's unlikely that that will ever happen?
Well, now there's an interesting question, because I think there are some signs that religion is becoming more important in contemporary worlds, especially, you know, in areas of conflict. And in that case, it's going to be harder to give Jews equal status. Now, of course, the odd thing is that today, Jews most certainly aren't second-class citizens in Muslim countries. They're often subject to the most extraordinary prejudice and vicious treatment. And it's a puzzle why that changed, because you would have thought these values might have continued on in Islamic society. But there's a couple of interesting factors in this. Somehow or other, Hitler conceived that the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, so this is a local bigwig in Jerusalem society in the 1930s, who remained prominent, he didn't die until the 60s, was a great ally of the Germans. And he adopted the German notion that the Jews had to be wiped out. And the result was a bitter war between Jews and Muslims in Palestine in the early years when the Jewish immigrants began to come back. And so that seemed to have poisoned the story. And then somehow or other, Muslims these days circulate a lot of the anti-Jewish literature that Christians are responsible for. So the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, that great Russian conspiratorial piece of nonsense that we've probably talked about before, these days, the only place you really find it is on Islamic websites.
Oh, wow.
Which is a bit of alarming, isn't it? And I'm not quite sure how they came to adopt these kinds of views. And I wonder, when you would think within Islam, and I think within some more moderate Islamic groups, there is recognition. After all, Muhammad himself said that there should be respect for these lesser religions. They'd got it wrong, but they hadn't got it all wrong.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Do you think there is hope for something something of the sort of, what do you call it, dhimmi? Returning?
Yes, the dhimmi. Yeah. Well, the only problem, of course, Johnny, is this, that if you've got the dhimmi, you've always got others who don't qualify to be dhimmi.
Okay.
And remember that the option, if you weren't dhimmi, in the jihad, which was, you know, in the era when Islam was going through the world like lightning and invading the world, if you weren't regarded as dhimmi, then you were regarded as objects that could be slaughtered without any compunction at all, because you were the enemies of true religion.
Yes.
So it's a step towards a more tolerant society, but it's a selective tolerance, and that's quite tricky. And then the other bit that worries me a bit is, what would be the next step after recognizing a dhimmi status? And you would think it would go towards a greater equality. But if you look at modern Egypt, for example, which is, you know, of the various Arab societies, other than Indonesia, you know, one of the more enlightened of those societies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Christians and Jews are treated pretty badly.
Yes.
Now, the current regime has got a little bit better, but up to 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
in fact, they were never allowed to repair their synagogues or churches, and that's laid down in the original Edict of Omar, on which a lot of this is based, back in, from the 630s. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, they're given all the dirty jobs in society. So
yes.
Christians are always responsible for cleaning up the rubbish.
Yep.
And that's how they survive, doing these second-grade positions. And so it feels as though we haven't come a long way in those societies.
Yeah, it certainly seems pretty backwards in the modern...
Yeah.
I mean, can I say the modern world? You know, like in today's era?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, an exception might be Indonesia, because Indonesia, the modern Indonesia, is built on a constitution that gives equal rights to all, even though Muslims are in the vast majority.
Yes.
But then we only have to think back to events of the very, very recent past
mm-hmm.
to know that, you know, in Bali, it's a very tricky, because Bali is a Hindu society existing as an enclave
mm-hmm.
in the wider Islamic world, and it hasn't had an easy ride.
Mm.
Or you think about the struggles of East Timor, which was essentially a Christian minority group.
Yes.
Convinced that it was just impossible to survive in Indonesia. So they haven't achieved quite the equality that they claim to be heading towards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's interesting seeing that Islam has got more of a history of a degree of tolerance.
Yes.
Than old Christian societies.
Yes. Interesting. All right. Hey, Peter Lynham, thank you very much for your contribution this afternoon. We look forward to speaking with you next week.
And me too. See you then.
Bye.